Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. One track at a time, you know the drill if you're joining us again. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. Hello. Hope you're entertained. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty gosh darn good, Mark. We got a big event coming up November 5th. Edit up a little teaser for it, and we're going to put it on our new YouTube page. So go ahead and go on YouTube, search And the Podcast Will Rock, and you'll see that little teaser. And episodes 51 and 52, kicking off season 2 of And the Podcast Will Rock, will be live Saturday, November 5th. We have a ton of special guests. By all means, watch the show live. You can comment. We can bring your comments live. Maybe we'll even grab one or two people just from the chat room. And bring them into the show as well. We're only allowed like 10 people on screen, so we have to kind of limit it. And so far, I've got like 5 or 6 guests lined up. So there may not be a ton of room, but anybody who comments, you know, we'll bring the comments and we'll talk about them. And we're going to do 2 wheel spins, episodes 51 and 52. We'll be done live that night. I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome. Be on the lookout for that, you guys. We will talk more about it at later on in the show, I'm sure, just to give you a reminder. But on top of that, that's some good news. 2 seasons. Corey, could you have imagined that we would still be doing this on a consistent level anyway? So many days back, almost a full year ago, could you imagine we're still doing this?
No, I figured you would have bailed on me like 2 weeks in. You got so much going on in your life. I'm the boring one, you know. If I'm not podcasting, I'm just sleeping at this point. So
that is true. That's the thing. Like I would have imagined you would have bailed because you keep yourself so busy doing every podcast ever. and when you're not doing them, you're listening to them. So, you mm-hmm. know, and you're a family man, busy guy, the Morissette. So yeah, don't fret not for me. I'm just kind of hanging out, enjoying the ride. So I was going to ride this train as long as we possibly could. And as long as people kept wanting to hear us talk about Van Halen, which seems like, based on the numbers, based on the guests we've had, and based on what we have coming up, you guys seemingly enjoy it, and I appreciate you Corey appreciates you. Everybody over here at Podcast Will Rock appreciates you, just as we appreciate Van Halen. Speaking of, that's who we always are here to talk about. What's going on in Van Halen news, Corey?
I tell you what, we got a few things. If you head over to the Van Halen news desk, there's quite a few. There's a new video by Sammy in the Circle called Father Time, a nice slow tempo ballady type of introspective song from Sammy Hagar, which I enjoyed very much. I thought that was very good. Yeah,
perfect for him.
We're getting all the updates on Mammoth 2, if you will. Wolfie keeps putting out stuff, and the latest one came just 4 days ago, and it was a picture of Eddie's beat up old Gibson SG that he used to record the slide on Dirty Movies from Fair Warning on. And it's a great picture. And Wolf even tells a story about how the lower horn of the SG kept getting in Eddie's way, so he just sawed it off, which is a very Eddie Van Halen thing to do. But Wolfie's going to be using that guitar and lots of his dad's guitars on Mammoth 2. So that's something to look forward to.
It's going to have a special touch, a little extra flavor of the Van Halen-ness. I mean, it already did with Wolfie at the helm. It's in the family, it's in the blood, but now him using sort of Eddie's instruments, actually using kind of a rock history memorabilia on this album. I don't know. It feels like he's putting a lot of magic and power into this album. And I, for one, am very excited to hear what he comes up with. He's hard at work. So Wolfie, we salute you. Keep doing your thing.
Absolutely. There's going to be a new Sammy Hagar centric podcast out there, Mark, which you especially will probably want to check out. Of course, we have the DLR cast, the David Lee Roth specific one. We had the boys from that show on. They did a fantastic job. But now we have a new fan podcast called The Bogus Oda Show, 9 Degrees of Sammy Hagar podcast, which they're talking everything Sammy, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle, Montrose, solo stuff, you name it. That's going to be coming out soon. So we're you know, it's kind of nice. You know, we've got DLR centric podcast, then we got a Sammy centric podcast, and we're kind of right up the middle. We love it all. So just want to welcome them to the fold, and I can't wait to check out their show.
Wonderful. That is awesome. Bogus Otis Show. Check that out. We'll be checking it out. It's interesting. Corey keeps trying to get me to review the solo albums, as it were, once we finally make our way through the Van Halen catalog. And I'm warming up to the idea, but now that we have another show that's dedicated to the Sammy era, I don't know. We might have some real competition, though, to have to deal with. But who knows? Maybe not. Maybe it's all love, and maybe it's all going to be good. And we may still go ahead and do that anyway. Depends on you guys. Do you want to hear us do it? Then let us know. You're very active on Twitter, so be proactive and let us know.
That's right. And speaking of let us know, I wanted to bring this up on the Van Halen news desk. Our good buddy Eric Senich, who may or may not be one of the special guests on the live show. There's a little bit of a tease for you. He put up a poll, and he wants to know what everybody's favorite song is from Best of Volume 1. I know, Mark, that was kind of your intro to Van Halen way back in the day. It had two new tracks on it, Me Wise Magic and Can't Get the Stuff No More. I got the poll up right here, Mark. I thought officially we would put in and the podcast Will Rock's vote. Okay. So let's start with you. If you had to pick between those two songs, which would be your favorite off of Best of Volume 1?
I'll be honest with you. These two songs are not my favorites of this album.
obviously, it's a best of.
Yeah, it's a best of. So
well, like, I like Running with the Devil better. Well, yeah, obviously.
They also they put these tracks like at the end of the album too. So it's at that point you going like, well, I already made my way through the hits, and like I guess I'll listen to the leftovers here. But that being said, they're still good songs, so don't think I'm knocking them. I'm going to have to go with Can't Get This Stuff No More.
Well, see, and now we're split, because I am 100%
you went
Me Wise Magic. I love that track.
I knew you've mentioned it before. So
we did it on the show.
We did do it on the show. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to have to, yeah. At this given moment, if I have to choose between the two, it's Can't Get This Stuff No More for me.
All right. So, well, we got to come to an accord, because we'll get one vote.
We do. Okay. All right. Well, give me your best sales pitch for Me Wise Magic.
Not only does it have one of the best Eddie riffs of the modern Van Halen era, Dave is in his wheelhouse sounding great. And it's that high harmony with Mike Anthony that makes Van Halen so special on the Do You Believe in the chorus. And then David comes in with his low key, Don't You Trust Me, Me Wise Magic. Great lyrically. The production is top notch. Alex is a real standout on this one, but I like just that heavy kind of Van Halen sound. To me, it's one of their better tracks of their modern era.
You know, you might have convinced me a little, because now I'm like re-listening to it in my head. And okay, by a nose, you're right. All right, it's been edged out. So I'm going to get, because I mean, like, I'm not super, super hype on Can't Get This Stuff. I just thought maybe I enjoyed it a little bit more. But the more I think about it and the more you've convinced me, yes, we vote Me Wise Magic. There you are.
Excellent.
And it looks like we're not alone.
We're not alone. Out of 1,300 responses, Me Wise Magic now in the lead, 74%. Can't Get This Stuff No More at 26%. So Can't Get This Stuff No More is a good song. I just thought it was a little bit, it wasn't quite as good as Me Wise Magic. So there you go. Our official vote is in on Eric's poll. Me Wise Magic running away with it. But speaking of polls, Mark Kammerer, we ran one on last week's song on the Tom Armbruster show that had the Armbruster bump, if you will. The poll did very, very well. We got a lot of comments on it. What do you say? You want to start reading through them?
I will. But just right at the top, over 106 votes. Thank you all. And the results are in. 81.1% of you definitely agreed She's the Woman or What Dreams Are Made Of. 18.9, almost right at 19%, The Dream Is Over. So honestly, they ran away with it on this one. I was kind of thinking it might be a little bit more split. Boy, was I wrong, because this was pretty much very nearly unanimous. But just going by what everyone is saying about it, I apologize that these are like way out of order. I'm just reading them as they are presented to me. From Scott Monroe: my favorite track on the album, classic smash and grab Van Halen sound with the return of high harmonies in the chorus and an explosive solo. David Lee Roth is in his everyman beat poet mode, and it puts a smile on my face.
Mine too.
Thank you.
That's a very good comment.
There you
yes.
go. Yeah. And there were added comments on that one as well, but I'm just going to make my way through. Rihanna at Ray 38. Love that song. So that very simply put, Josh says the music hits, lyrics kind of sorta. Just my opinion, and my opinion has never paid anyone's bills. So very practical, this Josh. Thank you, Josh.
It's never paid my bills either.
Yeah, no, it's certainly, if my opinions paid my bills, like, oh my God, you guys, I would be just living large. As it is, I do not. So, you know, do the math. Will Leonard says, I like it, but it's better in 1976 with the Brown sound. Mean Street Breakdown, Michael Anthony, etc. I don't know if I disagree with that. What do you think about that?
A lot of people have been pointing out the demo or the earlier version that came out. Obviously, David sounds a lot better on that one, but I kind of prefer the more polished version on A Different Kind of Truth. But I've listened to the bootleg 100 times. It's a great version as well, and I find it kind of odd. You know, we had some people who much preferred the 78 version and a couple of people who really preferred the 2012 version. So again, Van Halen fandom is kind of split.
Yeah. I mean, we could get into a whole thing about production quality versus, you know, remaster, but whatever, but it's cool. Don't disagree with the comment. Our buddies at the Deep Purple podcast, the Boo Cast, as they're calling themselves right now. Super solid track. Can't imagine being a Van Halen fan and not being happy with this. Most bands would be happy to have such a solid effort in their later days. Again, you're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. So thank you, guys. False Premise says, my only complaint with A Different Kind of Truth is that it has rendered my collection of bootleg Van Halen demos obsolete. This version of She's the Woman is just so much better. So there you go. You have one right there. Davey Lee Smith says, the Brown sound, a fast, chunky riff, and Al going to town like a double-decker bus on that hi-hat. Classic Dave poetry in motion. I miss Mikey, but Wolfie was the one who spearheaded A Different Kind of Truth. Love everything about this song. Indeed, What Dreams Are Made Of. Well, there you go. I like that answer. I like that answer a lot.
Davey's great. He always has fantastic comments and really absolutely. Well thought out and well said. Yeah.
We appreciate you, Davey. Kyle Anderson says, definitely what dreams are made of. As for, quote, knight in shining pickup truck, unquote, Corey is correct. Sorry, yes. Mark. I'll take that over cream in my coffee or lunch pail any day and twice on Sundays. That just seems like an excessive amount, but you do you. You do you, Kyle. Kyle also says, also, I am familiar with the original demo. Really cool. That original version of She's the Woman had the bridge of Mean Street and the bridge of that song.
That's right.
Good observation there. So good on you, Kyle. But I'm still going to stick with my guns and not know what the hell Knight in Shining Pickup Truck means. maybe you can explain it one day. Greg Zito, our buddy Greg, says, fellas, entertaining show with Tom. Wolf said that he wanted She's the Woman to be the lead single for A Different Kind of Truth, but he was overruled and Tattoo was used instead. I think She's the Woman would have been the better choice. Do you agree with that statement?
100%. And I really like Tattoo, but I've always thought that She's the Woman I thought was the superior song and should have been the lead off single.
And he got a lot of likes on that one. And our buddy Gene Hickey said what he said. Yep. So, you know, there you are. Michael Green, fan favorite here. Michael Green says, absolutely love this song. Maybe in my top 10 of Van Halen. Intro is killer. Stellar vocals. Eddie and Alex are crushing it. Wolf doing his thing. I don't care about lyrics. If I like the music and vocals, I like the song. Well,
there you go.
Good on you, but sometimes you should care about it. I love how. Yeah, you don't care about lyrics until a song comes around like Up for Breakfast, and then everybody's the lyric police. So, you know, whatever. Gene also agreed what he said too. Der Erz said, still so glad that Van Halen managed to release A Different Kind of Truth late in their career. Not all of the songs on the record succeed in bringing the early days of Van Halen's spirit to life, but She's the Woman surely does. I think I would agree with that statement as well.
Absolutely.
Chaz Mataz. I like this dude. He said, I literally cried with joy on first listen. The boys were back and better than ever. Remember, Ed would go back into his archive their entire career. Many Hagar era mega hits were born when Roth was in the band. Empowered Woman versus Lunch Pail. Is this an apology after all? Maybe.
No, and Chaz had another comment on here I just want to go through real quick. He says, lyrics, Dave's poor man fantasy, living in cars, suburban garage atois equals middle class booty call, theme you see again in Tattoo. For all the chicks he banged through mid-America, all grown up now with teenage girls of age to get their own backstage passes, he don't discriminate.
No, he don't discriminate at all. Chaz also listened to the episode twice because he felt it was so good. So thank you, Chaz.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate
yes.
you. He says, Chaz he says is awesome. We're killing it. I'll take your word for it because I appreciate it. So thank you there. Matt Lacasse or Lacasse or how I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing at Scared Hippie says, David Lee Roth has me at, I want to be your knight in shining pickup truck with a Chevy for my summer home. Let's get the party started. It's looking like the city toad, my other apartment. Sammy Hagar doesn't have that level of creativity in him. He just doesn't. This is a 10 out of 10. Well, I'm glad you like the song, and holy shit, are you absolutely wrong with that statement, but it's fine. We appreciate your contribution.
You know what? Matt's going to be on the show coming up here in November, so you'll have a chance to you'll tell him to his face.
Yeah, yeah. First, I'll learn to pronounce your name correctly because being someone who has had that problem for his entire life, I get it. And then I'm going to tell you about like, wow, let me just give you a list of all the things you're wrong about that statement, but it's fine. All made in jest and love. Airhead 3, our buddy Airhead says, yay. Great song. One of the best on A Different Kind of Truth. The intro's groove harkens back to Mean Street's funk. And all three Van Halens are getting are gelling like crazy. I'm in the Corey Morissette camp on the lyrics, but the music is so good. The lyrics could be Dave's grocery list, and it would still be fire. That's actually true. I would love to hear a Dave grocery list song.
And another one in my camp. Ice. I love it.
Yeah, it would just be all ice cream flavors, but that's fine. Rock Roulette Podcast says, a different kind of truth is a hidden gem. Lots of good stuff, even if a bunch of it is reworked. Eddie did that a lot. Right Now was written in 1983 and used on For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge in 91. I'm glad this is the last Van Halen record and not Van Halen 3. I think we would all agree with that, except for Michael Green, who has an unnatural love for Van Halen 3. But you do you, buddy. apologies to Gary once again. Jonathan P. Todd said, I'm not sure Ed was healthy enough to write a bunch of new material, and his writing may have evolved beyond what Roth could handle. If it sounds good, it is good. And that was a reply to Rock Roulette. But Jonathan P. Todd goes on to say, love this song. As much as I love Ed and Al, I think Wolf really shines on this track and the album. I would have loved to hear the incarnation of Van Halen write, more new music. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would too. I think I would have been more inclined if Sammy had been back with them, but I don't think that was ever gonna happen. So yeah, what do you do? But again, don't hate Roth on this album. Ray Von Schlageter. Half of the lyrics in this song are really good. Half. The bridge is fantastic. All four of them mixing it in. Great lead. Got a real Mean Streets feel to it. Here's the demo from 78, and he provides the YouTube demo, or the demo via YouTube. A lot of people are mentioning Mean Streets for this one, and I guess I just really didn't think about it until now everyone's putting it into perspective. It's really, really interesting.
Listen to that demo, and you definitely get a real Mean Streets vibe to it, for sure.
Will do. Brad Gould says, sorry, Mark the Bat. Most of the people that are in Tennessee are knights in shiny pickup trucks. And he says, it's a great line. I know that I can speak from experience that most dudes in Tennessee think they are knights in a shiny pickup trunk. But what they actually are is, I don't know. I don't feel like I can say on this podcast, but you get the idea. It's fine. We'll do a whole separate show about it. Our friend Kevin Brown says, best track on the album, I'd say. Great riff. Alex's drums are fucking huge, and I actually don't mind Dave's silly lyrics in this one. Corny as shit, but they do work. His vocal on the demo is obviously a million times better, but that's David Lee Roth and age for you.
What dreams are made of?
What dream? Thank you. What dreams are made of for me? I was about to say, like, what? I haven't seen the acronym.
What damo?
What damo for me is what he said.
And it's so, our acronym. People use it all the time. Come on, Mark. Get on the
There you go. See, look, I'm way lost. So Steve Hunt said, great tune off a killer album. A Different Kind of Truth just shit all over Chickenfoot when it was released. Well, yeah, because they still had the Van Halen name. And you're not gonna place wagers against a band that has just former members against the actual Van Halen 3. I mean, it's right there in front of you.
I didn't mind Chickenfoot.
No, I'm not saying Chickenfoot was bad. I'm just saying, well, of course, people drove more towards a Van Halen album than a Chickenfoot album because it's Van Halen. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
So. And yeah, there you go. And it's I'll just add this in reply to Steve's tweet. Salty Nuts said, you got to be kidding me. Chickenfoot's 10 times better than that. Nothing against Van Halen or 10 times better than that. Nothing against Van Halen. But David Lee Roth was washed up years and years ago. So shots fired in the
Salty Nuts coming out hot.
Salty is correct, but that is everyone's thoughts on She's the Woman. So no surprise based on the poll results, but there you go.
Yeah. And you mentioned Kevin Brown, a good buddy of ours. Of course, he does the Tom Petty Project. He's been on the show. Got to get him back on the show again. He may be another special guest on our live show. There's another little tease for you, but he's a big number cruncher, and he's actually been calculating based on what we've been spending, what the odds are from what album we're going to spin from. So according to his calculations, today we have a higher probability of landing on either Van Halen 1, a Van Halen 1 track, a four unlawful carnal knowledge track or a diver down track. And diver down, we've hardly covered any. We just did happy trails. So we're right, more than due for a diver down track. But those are the three highest probabilities. Mark and Meyer, I got to ask you, what are you in the mood for today?
It's a nice day. The sun is out. The clouds are gone. You know, I've just been chilling. So I need a good chill tune, a good Van Halen chill tune. You can find quite a bit of those on Van Halen 1. So I'm going to say I want to hear something from Van Halen 1. It just seems like the perfect opportunity, the perfect time to do it. Would you digress from or would you diverge from that or would you agree?
Well, I would have no problem at all with a Van Halen 1 track. It's been quite a while. I'm kind of in a mellow kind of mood too. But I was thinking maybe something off Diver Down because we haven't done that. Mm. And I'm thinking maybe one of the covers, maybe Where Have All the Good Times Gone.
Ooh, yeah, that would be a good one. So either way, would not be mad at a spin from any one of these records. I know there's a few off one album that Corey doesn't want to talk about, but we'll get there. So I don't know. According to our numbers guy, Kevin Brown, there's a high likely chance we might.
We might.
So with that out of the way, Corey, are you ready to spin this and see what it is we will be discussing?
I am ready. You are ready. Sammy's ready. Let's do it.
Here we go. Round, round, round.
Yeah. All right. And we are going to get. We were so close. So close to Pleasure Dome. But instead, we're going back to OU812 and Mine All Mine. I'm not mad at this one, Mark.
No. But I am a little bit, only because we were so close to Pleasure Dome. I just for the sheer comedy of it, I really wanted to discuss that.
I want to spend that one on the live show. I'm going to spend that on the live show because I'm going to have a few whiskeys in me, and I'm going to be ready to talk about Pleasure Dome on that one. But we get the lead-off track from OU812. We've been hitting OU812 kind of regularly here this last little bit.
We kind of have. I guess that's the Wheels way of giving us a break from Van Halen 3. And it's like, no, you're going to do this one now. And it's like, well, it's a good thing we don't hate this album, because it's like if it was a real stinker of an album, this would be a difficult show. But it's not.
No, it's really not. We talk about the production all the time with OU812, mm-hmm. so I don't think we really need to go into that too much. But you know, there's some real bangers on this one, and this one kicked off the album. So, you know, the band obviously thought quite a lot of it. Have you spun OU812, like aside from the show, in kind of your leisure time, if you have it, do you spin a lot of OU812?
I do, but I'm a creature of habit, and this is this album has a particular track, not the opening track, but the following track that is kind of near and dear to my heart because it's one of like Sammy's best, in my opinion. I'm talking about When It's Love. So definitely if I'm going to listen to this album, I'm going to that one first. So unfortunately, I just tend to just kind of go over Mine All Mine a lot. I have heard it. It's not one in my regular rotation. Unfortunately, that might change after today. But how about yourself?
You know what? I don't tend to spin OU812 a ton, but when I'm kind of driving around, I just got my Van Halen. Like I got every song just kind of on shuffle, and this one popped up about a week ago. And I'm like, ooh, I can't wait for this one to kind of come up on the show. A lot better than I remembered. I don't want to tip my hand. Obviously, I'm going to be listening to it with fresh ears here and everything. But I'm not mad at this pick. And actually, we mentioned we almost did Pleasure Dome. On the other side of it was a Van Halen 3 track, Josefina. So we certainly got the best out of those three possible options.
Unless if the wheel had slowed down a little bit more, and right under Pleasure Dome was another song from the Fuck album that I am just chomping at the bits to talk about. But
it was one we mentioned on the show. If people want a little hint. But what do you say, Mark? Let's get into Mine All Mine from 1988's OU812.
Careful, folks. It's a Sammy tune.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we talked about the production of this album quite a bit, but right off the hop, like with the headphones on and you're listening to everything in stereo, this sounds pretty fucking cool.
It does sound cool, but I can understand the there's a little bit of the quality that's sort of like lost on me. It could be just because of the way I'm hearing it currently, but I'm never going to be I'm never going to fight back when people say, well, the recording quality's not so great on this one. Like, well, all things considered, yeah, you're right. But it's still not bad, especially if you got your headphones on.
Yep, absolutely.
Sorry, I know we were just getting right into it, but I just have to say, like, that little section right before Sammy came in sounds like you ever seen that 80s movie? Pick one. it sounds like you'd hear it from the tension is rising. It's in the 80s. Maybe you see like some shots of a car driving through the city, the oceans.
The mamas, bonus moms, office moms, moms of moms. This Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given us so much. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all your amazing moms with handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts. Ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The background to sunset and like something big's about to happen. Maybe it's like maybe you're watching Miami Vice or something. That's what that whole section sort of reminded me of. It's just the calm before the storm in an 80s flick.
I love that
song, so you know.
Yeah, and when you said pick an 80s song, for some reason the first movie that popped in my head was Hot Dog the Movie. So I imagine people skiing while that keyboard part of My Own Mind was playing, and it fit like a glove.
I mean, sure, I was thinking more of like Top Gun-esque Beverly Hills Cop, something like that. But yeah, go ahead.
No,
whatever works.
I go right to titty comedies like Hot Dog the Movie or Up the Creek. Remember that one? Cheap Trick did
I do not remember Up the Creek, actually. You got me on that one.
I don't remember the movie, but I remember Cheap Trick performed the title cut off of Up the Creek. So,
of course they did.
Look for that on our Cheap Trick podcast coming soon on the Deep Dive Podcast Network. But yes, very 80s, very keyboardy. Obviously, and he was kind of steering the band in this direction, and you get a lot of it here in the intro, but things will pick up for you, Mark, especially right around the solo. So,
I mean, I'm not complaining. I was just pointing that out, and it made me laugh.
I'm a child of the 80s. I loved it.
What we seem to like to do on this show, and by we, I mean, you know, other people on this podcast, like to take first verse of these Van Halen songs and analyze the lyrics, usually to the chagrin of myself, saying that, listen to this dog shit. Like, as a lyricist, we talk a lot about who's the better lyricist, and everyone seems to think it's David, and you guys shit all over Sammy all the time. But I want you to listen to this. Oh, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I've been through hell and back again. I shook hands with the devil, looked him in the eye, looked like a long-lost friend. That's fucking poetry, okay? Like, he's making a, like, direct statement, and, you know, he's not getting too overly... I mean, it is a metaphor, obviously, but, I mean, that's a good one. That's a really good start. That's a hell of a first verse. So, all of y'all saying that Sammy can't write, fuck off. That's all I'm saying. Come on now.
I agree 100%. Love that first verse, and actually, kind of famously... he was really tortured himself over the lyrics on this one. Like, he really worked hard on them. This was, I believe, the last song cut for the album, because he was so unsure of the lyrics. And he goes a little deeper, into the lyrics on this, and he rewrote them a ton of times. And I'm just looking it up real quick. Sammy actually said, and I quote, "It was the first time in my life I ever beat myself up, hurt myself, punished myself, practically threw things through windows trying to write the lyrics."
The tortured writer. I get it.
Now, I just want to point out what Alex is doing in the background there, right? And he's...
Oh, yes, please do.
One of the things I love about Alex and his drumming is he kind of have this chaotic, like beat with the kick and a like a little faster. But on the cymbals, it's just nice and light and airy. Ding, 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 ding. And it's that juxtaposition between what he does on the cymbals and what he does with the kick drum and the kick snare pattern. I find really fucking cool. That's one of the things that really gravitated me to Alex Van Halen, because... Yeah, even on something like the intro for Hot to Teacher, right, where you just got the double kicks.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you got ding, ding, tick, 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 ding, 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 and ding, yeah, he's doing so much cool shit on the cymbals. And this is a great example of that, too.
It is a great example of it. You don't want crash and splash constantly, especially if you're just like beating the shit out of your toms and your snare and your kick in this case, like, because then you're just making noise. You're just banging on shit to bang on it. And that's not me throwing shit at any particular drummer. I'm just saying, like, you need to have variety, and here's the word, dynamics. You need to have that. I think one thing we've learned, certainly I've learned through this journey, is just how dynamic of a drummer Alex really is. I will keep praising it for as long as we keep doing the show, because I came into this thinking, Van Halen's great. I love Van Halen. I've always loved the band, but Alex is not my favorite drummer. I don't think Alex was really that good of a drummer. And boy, have I been proven wrong just from really listening and, you know, hearing the different perspectives about what exactly he is doing. And it's amazing. So if you guys are listening to our show whatsoever and you're like, yeah, I know these songs, it's fine. Like, but do you really, really listen to the musicianship going on? Certainly for me, Alex has just blown my mind with the things that he's doing. So good catch there, Corey. I 100% agree.
All right, before we get into the solo, Mark, that's some nice harmonizing.
It was. It was almost kind of like, Sammy, we get it. You think Mike and I can do something real quick? Just throw a little something in there. And Sammy's like, yeah, I guess if you want. It's like, you know, just a little extra harmonies right here in the back. It's like, yeah, go ahead. Make it quick, though. Like, oh, we'll make it quick, but we'll make it good. Because, I mean, it's Sammy. You're not gonna, like, you can enhance his voice all you want with harmonies, but I mean, it's Sammy. He really doesn't need the help with it. That being said, the harmonies here with Michael, and I'm presuming that's Eddie with him. Yeah, I love that because it's subtle. It's not over the top. It's doing exactly what the background flavor is supposed to do. I really like that a lot. I'm still kind of blown away. I love that there was more to why the lyrics are, why they, like, there's a story behind it. I love that you mentioned it because I've never actually read these lyrics before, clearly, because I'm sort of just coming into it a little bit more fresh. Anytime I've heard the song, I haven't really paid attention to it. These are good, man. Like, I'm not going to go for it line after line, but you guys, again, the ones of you that keep saying, like, Sammy writes hokey lyrics, like, I challenge you, read these lyrics, listen to the song, read these lyrics, and you tell me how hokey it is, because it's not. If you tell me that Sammy beat himself up to write something really good, I mean, I believe it, but these are some superb lyrics, and this is something I've been trying to explain to you guys. Like, when Sammy wants to write something amazing, he can. Look at this.
Two things can be true. Sammy can write really excellent lyrics, and Sammy can write really terrible lyrics. And
same for Dave.
We run the gamut on both of them on this show, and we're going to continue to. This is a great example of good Sammy. Like you said, he's knocking it out of the park, I think, vocally as well. And we got a tasty guitar solo coming up here. I can't wait for you to get your comments on this, Mark. Here we go. Oh, that had a little bit of everything. I just wish it was up in the mix a little more.
I know, but holy shit. He almost launched into a completely different song, but he stopped himself and he brought it back. This is one of those, you never hear about guitar players. I've talked about this before. There are certain riffs that musicians write that people will take into a music store, like a Guitar Center, a Sam Ash or something, and it's like, oh, I want to try out this new guitar. What should I play to not only just demonstrate my talent because everyone's going to hear me? It's like, let me play this riff. There are certain riffs that are perfect for that and certain riffs you just should never play. We've talked about that before. This solo never comes up when talking about, like, what solos by Van Halen do you want to learn so that you can play it out in public and impress people? You never hear about this one. And I think I know why, because Eddie is all over the place on this one in the best possible way. And I dare you to try and recreate this and make it sound halfway as just rip roaring and awesome and raw as it is, because this one takes you on a journey. As I said, it sounded like he was about to launch into a completely new song. So, like, do that and make it sound good. I challenge you on that one, guitar players. I don't even know what else to say about this.
It's the kitchen sink solo. You're trying to pick out all the different techniques, right? Oh, we got some speed picking there. Oh, there's a whammy bar dive. Oh, there's some tapping. There's like and I'm not a guitar player, but you can kind of hear the many different techniques he's using in there.
And it doesn't sound overbloated to me anyway. Eddie has been guilty of that maybe once or twice. We've mentioned it where I feel like, you know, that solo was a little too much. He probably shouldn't have done that, or shouldn't have done it that way. But this is not one of those. This is our intro song for this new album. I'm going to give you like all the flavors I got, but I'm going to make it awesome, as only he could do.
But tonally, it was kind of buried a little bit, like the drums kind of overpowered it, didn't it?
And then this contributes back to the conversation of this hurts the album because it's not mixed very well. And again, I'm not going to fight you on that.
But Alex sounded great. Like, I love it when he lays that kind of train track ready to roll on, right? And again, it's the little accents he's doing on the cymbals that kind of make it for me.
Mine, all mine.
Is that Sammy doubling himself, or is that Eddie with him?
It sounds like it could be Sammy doubling himself just because of the tonality. I mean, I know he's like an octave lower, but the way the tones are kind of blending in like that sort of sounds like it could be Sammy, but it could be Eddie, because Eddie was, famously pretty good about background vocals. So your guess is as good as me. I would have to really like listen. And I still don't know if I could tell you.
I'm sure there's an expert out there who can let us know on Twitter who was actually performing the background there. Was it Sammy doubling himself on a lower octave, or was it somebody else?
Greg or Eric, let us know.
Yes. So there's a great example of a grown-up verse for Sammy Hagar. Not the first time he sung about religion in a song either.
No, and he kind of he doubles up on it, and he even lets you know it's like it's okay to be. He says, "We see a man speaking the word of God, proven to be a fraud. His own church applauds." That hits home because, look, I live in a red state, and I am this state is full of churches and people running them that are ironically preaching very anti what they're supposed to be, certainly not living up to the example that they supposedly practice, which makes me laugh, but anyway, it's not funny. But I love that Sammy's like, look, you got Allah in the east, you got Jesus in the west, like, what? But you're all saying the same thing. I think my interpretation of this is, you know, be spiritual, I guess, if you want, but choose for yourself. Don't follow. I mean, that's why it's mine, all mine is like, I want something that's mine. Don't just be a follower to be a follower, because the people you're following are probably leading you astray. And we can all kind of, see truth in that. We can all understand. It's relatable. It's a relatable thing. It's a very, as you say, it's a very grown up statement, and, one that makes you think. So good on you, Sammy.
And still relevant. We see a man speaking the word of God, proven to be a fraud. His own church applauds. Very, very timely still in 2022.
We don't have enough time to discuss that. But yes,
no kidding.
You get the point, people.
I love that transition. We got that nice mellow part again. And my mind went back to when you said, I need something a little mellow on a Thursday afternoon. It's like, well, this is perfect. And then it just transitions right back into that really great refrain that we got here at the end here with the mind all mine. It's working really well.
It's like they're in like a hot rod or some sort of like muscle car, and they're pulling into a beach, and that's the chill part. And it's like, take it all in, boys. You good? All right, we're getting back to it. And you just hit the throttle. Just here we go. Mine, all mine. And then there it goes. And Alex, of course, is in the driver's seat.
Of course. Yeah, 100%. Mine, all mine. Yes, I'm certain.
Mine, all mine. Now, okay, on there, Sammy's doing a little bit of doubling there for that the background vocals. So that one I could tell.
Mine, all mine.
mine, all mine.
Yeah, I forgot that's how it ends.
The lead-off track from Oh, You Wait, One, Two. You wouldn't know it if you looked at the back of the vinyl, though, because they listed all the songs alphabetically. So you didn't even... Like, what do you mean AFU isn't the first song on the album?
Yeah, AFU. Yeah, it's like, wait, what's happening? I'm confused. Yeah, that would mess me up, too. But no, your intro track, Mine All Mine, from OU812. Again, not the track I particularly go to if I'm going to spin this album right away. But I don't want to show the hand here. I think we should just kind of get into it. Corey, Mine All Mine, I would say, is probably one of Sammy's strongest lyrically. So the question is, though, would that, on top of the way the music is structured, would Mine All Mine be what dreams are made of for you, or is the dream over?
I really dig this song. I know, the intro is cool. It gets a little keyboard heavy, and you're kind of like, oh, is it going to be like that throughout? And then it's not at all. You know, we got some great guitars. We had some fantastic drums. Like, as a drum fan, I loved what Alex did on that track. And this is the best of Sammy. I don't hate the Van Hagar era at all. I've loved all these albums, and some of my favorite songs are Sammy tunes. And he is top-notch Sammy on this one. Knocked it out of the park. Vocally, especially with doubling his own vocal there, did that masterfully. The harmonies were great. I didn't really pay attention too much to the bass, but that's because it's on OU812 and you can't really hear the bass all that clean on most of the tracks. But Alex is great. That solo, man, that's maybe top 20 Eddie Van Halen solos for me. I always love the solo. You get a little bit of everything. I call it the kitchen sink solo because he just throws it all in there, but makes it all make sense. Absolutely what dreams are made of for me. But I kind of knew that going in. I tipped my hand a little bit, and I feel bad about that. But Mark Meyer, you listen to this one with fairly new ears. Like you said, you don't spin this one overly much. So for you, is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
I mean, won't even bother pretending for, playing a game of it. It is what it is. No, look, I you guys know, like, I'm fond of a good Van Hagar tune because, Sammy's my dude. But I love Dave as well. It's fine. But again, this is just lyrically, this is so strong, and musically it fits. And this is the kind of song I think you would want to open up an album. Is it the best mixed? Probably not. Not at least in comparison to other albums in the band's repertoire. I get it. However, it's still not so flawed that it's unlistenable. Like, obviously not. And I love the fact that this is your opener. And as you say, Corey, it starts off a little, quote, too keyboard heavy, but then it like kind of goes away after a little bit. And I think that's by design. Eddie's going to give you just a little taste of what's to come so that, and then take it away from you so that you're not, you're surprised when the next track hits you, which is, When It's Love. And so much keyboard in that. It's a great keyboard sort of ballad. And, but this one is sort of a kind of, really drives home, and that's to the credit to Alex, of course, the rhythm section. I'm sure Michael is doing some great stuff. Again, we can't really say because the mixing just doesn't really have him prominent, but we hear him in the background vocals, so we know his presence is there, and we just have enough faith in Michael's ability to where it's like, well, he did his job. We don't need to worry about him. It would be nice to hear him, but we know that he's hanging in there. It's fine. And again, I don't know what more I could possibly say about Eddie's solo in this than I haven't already said, because it's just top 20 easily, I would say. Easily. Might even have to just kind of compose a list to see if this one falls into my top 10 of his solos, honestly, because it's explosive, and it's fast, it's dynamic, and it kind of leaves you feeling of wanting more, but not in a bad way, in a good way. Again, it sounded like he was going to launch into something new. I'm like, well, I want to hear what that new thing was. Let me hear it. But he's like, no, save it. We'll save it for later. I'm like, okay, cool. And to that I say, well, come on, baby, finish what you started. That's a whole other song from the album, but you get what I'm saying. It's absolutely what dreams are made of. I don't see how you listen to this song and go like, yeah, whatever. Like, really? Really? Are you just you're either saying that because you just really don't like the Hagar era, or you're just being a Mariano. I don't know. But I bet even Mariano would like this track, but that remains to be seen. We'll hear from all of you about how you feel on this track when the poll goes up. But for now, there it was. Mine All Mine from OU812. Good stuff. I needed that track. You know, didn't even realize it, but I needed it.
It's a gooder. And it's one they performed live quite a few times. Mark, if you had to guess, how many times do you think Van Halen played Mine All Mine live?
I would hope they would play this almost every time they toured on this album. But I'm going to say they played this probably like 40 times.
Well, according to setlist.fm, they played it 147 times. They played it not only on this tour, but on the Four Unlawful tour and the Balance tour, even a little bit too. And Sammy in the Circle played it once in 2021. So, hey, you know, if we're throwing requests at Sammy and Mikey, like, hey, break out Mine All Mine on a couple of shows on your next tour.
Oh, God, who plays the solo for that?
Vic Johnson plays lead. Yeah, so he would be doing the lead on that one. And he does all the Van Halen stuff pretty well. He's a pretty accomplished guitar player. So I wouldn't mind hearing Vic take a crack at the solo for Mine All Mine.
There's a good chance he probably plays Eddie's solos, not exactly note for note for Eddie. He probably gives his own spin on it, which you're allowed to do that. It's a solo, you know, and also you don't want to imitate Eddie too bad, because then people go like, well, are you an actual guitar player, or are you just an imitator? Because there's a lot of those. So, you know, put your fresh spin on it. I'm sure however it sounds is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You know what else is pretty good, Mark? The Deep Dive Podcasting Network.
It is so much fun and so many great podcasts. We are very, very appreciative to be a part of that network. Corey, can you let the people know what they can expect on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network?
Absolutely. We've got great shows like the Deep Purple Podcast, Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Skinnerd Reconsidered, In the Lap of the Pods, The Magician's Podcast, talking everything Uriah Heep, Hawk Binge, Maiden A to Z, Diary of the Madmen. Of course, that's all things Ozzy. The Metal Gods Podcast, talking all things Judas Priest. Universally Speaking, that's the Red Hot Chili Pepper Show. Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited. So Far, So Pod, So What? The Tom Petty Project, Backtracks, Steam Music, T-Bones, Prime Cuts on the Other Side. And we're adding two more shows. I don't want to say them now because I don't think they've been officially announced. But in the coming days, look for an announcement on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network account announcing two new additions to our stellar lineup of shows.
There you go. Right on. Little tease for you. We've been teasing all day, but and be sure you guys to check out our show in November. I believe November 5th. November 5th will be our live show. It's our anniversary because we've been doing this a full year, and the kickoff for season two. It's going to be a fun time. We've got awesome guests lined up. I'm going to trust that the wheel is not going to just completely run us over with some tracks that just aren't worth talking about. I don't see how that's possible, but we've been duped before. So when we've had guests too, so we're planning on several. So I'm hoping the wheel is kind, but we're not going to deviate. We're not going to destroy the integrity of the show. No, because that wouldn't be any fun. The part of the fun why you guys listen is the fact that we don't know what we're talking about until the wheel bestows us a track. So keeping in that vein, we will see what the wheel has in store for us that day. But be sure to tune in on November 5th. We're going to do a live show. And thank you all so much for staying with us, keeping us going and keeping the conversation going, because if not, don't know if we would have made it this far. I don't know. We might have. I don't know. Corey and I are pretty stubborn. We might have just like, you know what? In spite of it all, let's just keep going. Just to, even if our families and us are the only ones listening to it, let's just keep it going. But thankfully, you guys enjoy what we have to say. You enjoy Van Halen, which is the most important part of it, and you're enjoying the journey. So thank you. Please join us November 5th for the live show. Corey, where can people find all the stuff we've got going on with the show, and where can they find you if they want to talk to you directly?
www.podcastwillrock.com. You can catch up on old episodes. We'll have a link to our new YouTube page on there. That's where you can watch the live show on November 5th. Make your comments, participate in the live polls. Let us know what you're thinking of the shows, the guests, and the songs we're going to be covering that night. You can also find us on Twitter at Podcast Will Rock. You can find me on Twitter at CD Morset. And you can find me blathering on about Aerosmith and movie music with my good friend John Mariano on Backtracks Theme Music and Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. How about you, Mr. Kamire?
Oh, you can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. And just you can at me whenever you want, especially when you think I'm wrong about a particular thing. At this point, it just doesn't matter. This is like, Mark, here's the thing I think you're wrong about. I'm like, all right, let's discuss. It doesn't matter at this point what it is. But because I appreciate the interaction and I appreciate all of you, I appreciate you people. Loyalty, whatever, it's fine. It's just, we just appreciate you guys keeping us going again. And I can't say this enough. Please tune into the live show because I think it's going to be a really, really fun time. Corey and I are going to be ridiculously silly as we normally are, maybe more silly. Who knows? It's live. Anything can happen. So if there's something you really want to tell us directly that you have yet to be able to do that, it doesn't matter what it is. You better tune into the live show. It'll be your best opportunity. So, also keep this in mind. We are not rock historians. We are not experts. We're just humble fans who enjoy this band and have been rediscovering the music and everything about them through this journey, through the show. So keep that in mind, but also let us know how we're doing, how it makes you feel. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The mamas, bonus moms, office moms, moms of moms. This Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given us so much. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all your amazing moms with handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts. Ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.